Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Apostle Paul once wrote to the church in Corinth, "This is how one should regard us, as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." What Paul here acknowledges in these words is that there are always thoughts and ideas pertaining to God that we cannot understand. These hidden mysteries are not even meant for us to solve and to figure out. Rather, they are to be managed as a steward would manage over possessions. Care for them. Teach of them. For they are not ours to change or explain away or to reject out of hand. They are truths of God in His Word that we are simply to believe, to teach, to confess. No more, no less. One such mystery, perhaps the chief of all of them, is the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Last week we talked about how the incarnation of Jesus was a scandal to mankind, offensive to our sensible ways of thinking. And at the very root of that offense is the truth that Jesus' incarnation remains a mystery. We can't figure it out. It's a teaching of the Scriptures that we cannot fully grasp, understand, or master. Truthfully, we are never asked to figure it out either. We are merely to believe it as truth, to grasp onto it and hold tight, because it comes from God, who is the truth. What is so mysterious about the incarnation of Jesus? First, as mentioned last week, it is the very scandalous idea that God Almighty would stoop down, condescend to mankind's level, and take on the form of mortal flesh. As stated last week, this is only done by God's good grace alone, that He would even consider to do such a thing, let alone actually perform it. But the second reason this is so mysterious is that indeed the incarnation of Jesus is difficult to understand, near impossible for us as mortals, the two natures in Jesus Christ. We believe, we teach, we confess, as the Scriptures have stated, that at the same time, simultaneously, Jesus Christ is fully God and fully man, 100% God and 100% human. Add the two together in normal thinking and you end up with two separate whole beings, doubling the initial number. But that is not Jesus. Mysteriously and miraculously, Jesus remains one Jesus, not two. And you will indeed recall this confession from the Athanasian Creed, I hope. He is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages, and He is man, born from the substance of His mother in this age. Perfect God and perfect man, composed of a rational soul and human flesh, equal to the Father with respect to His divinity, less than the Father with respect to His humanity. Although He is God and man, He is not two, but one Christ. Mysterious indeed. So how can one person be equal to the Father and less than the Father at the same time? How can one person begotten from all eternity also be born of a woman? The author of Hebrews, who remains a mystery, by the way, says in today's second reading, But we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by the grace of God he might taste death for everyone. Now that last part of that reading takes us into the purpose of the incarnation, which is next week's focus, so we're not going to go deeply into that for now. But the author here is directing his Hebrew audience to realize that the Son of God, second person of the Trinity, was made man, as we confess in the Nicene Creed. All of these mysteries are truly possible in Jesus Christ, the Son of God and Son of Man. Now, in his own ministry, later on, after he had entered into Jerusalem following Palm Sunday, Jesus blew the minds of his accusers, and at the same time greatly scandalized them, offended them, by utilizing our Old Testament reading for tonight. In Matthew chapter 22, where we have Jesus using Psalm 110 to proclaim the mystery of his incarnation. If the Christ is David's son, Jesus says, how then can David say, inspired by God, so really it is God saying it, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. If then David calls him Lord, Jesus says, how is he his son? How can one person be both David's God and David's son? The Jews could not answer, or maybe they did not want to. How can one person be both? The answer, the incarnation. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen His glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is why John 1 is always used, the celebration of Christmas, plainly proclaims the mystery of the incarnation. Now, already in the Apostle John's later years of his life, Christians in the church were already allowing the mystery of the incarnation, the two natures in Jesus, to influence their thinking as Christians in a negative way. They were busy trying to make sense of Jesus' incarnation, trying to logically answer the questions that we asked earlier. How can one person be both God and man at the same time? How can one person be David's God and David's son at the same time? They could not let the mystery remain a mystery. Rather than be managers of the incarnation, they attempted to become masters of the incarnation. John clearly states, again, the mystery of the incarnation of Jesus. He does not attempt to figure it out, but he is content to let it be. That should be your position too. You may be tempted to better explain the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ to family or to friends. You may be tempted to better explain the two natures in Holy Scripture, that at the same time it is fully God's Word and fully written by man. You may be encouraged to solve the mystery of the Lord's Supper, how bread and wine can truly at the same time be the body and blood of Jesus. You may be driven to make sense out of your own dual nature, but at the same time you are fully a sinner and fully a saint. Follow John's lead. Be a steward, not a solver. Be a manager and not a master. Let the mystery be a mystery. It really is much better that way. And what is a mystery for us is not a mystery to God. Thanks be to Him. He perfectly understands all of these things, and far, far more than we can even begin to imagine. Such knowledge and understanding then is truly humbling, as it should be. You are not God, nor am I. And we do not have to be. God is God. You are His creature. So the pressure is off. He will handle all of the big stuff. You just handle the stuff He has given you. Graciously, Almighty God has caused you to trust in Him for all things. And so you have faith to believe His word, declaring you forgiven in Jesus by His blood shed on the cross. And so then you cling to Jesus like no other. You have faith like that of a little child who does not need to understand everything. Such faith, such trust in Jesus is freeing, and truly is freedom. Word of God, come down on earth, living rain from heaven descending. Touch our hearts and bring to birth faith and hope and love unending. Word Almighty, we revere you. Word made flesh, we long to hear you. Word made flesh, the mystery of all mysteries revealed to you in the Holy Scriptures, God's written word. And you do hear that word as you have longed to hear it, spoken to you in church, and every time you read it on your own. For that word comes to you in, with, and under bread and wine of the supper. And that word becoming flesh still is a mystery that God knows, that you believe. How beautiful, how sweet it is, Jesus Christ, our Lord, made flesh. Amen. And the peace that does pass all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and your minds in the word made flesh to life everlasting. Amen.